First of all, I'm just interested to have you kind of remind us about your background and what you bring to this job.
Yeah, I was the chief public corruption prosecutor in Iowa over the last decade. This is the office that conducts all of Iowa's public corruption investigations. And so the work that I have done has been working closely with the office. It's one of two divisions in the office. This is something that I think is very important because there's an investigative role for this office that I think has been underappreciated by recent state auditors that I would really like to beef up that role for this office.
And you were the only Democrat to knock off a Republican incumbent in this election. What do you think you did differently than some of the people that were also running for statewide office from your party?
I think that's it's a good question. You know, a lot of people have said that it was the strongest Democratic ticket up and down the ballot. I think that's true. I don't think there's any one thing that you can point to for almost any election to look at it and say, this explains that. If I had to pick a few things, do I think it mattered? Do I think it matters that I grew up in a small town in Northeast Iowa? I do think it matters. Do I think it matters that we worked very hard at building a very strong fundraising effort?
You raised a lot of money.
Raised a lot of money. Yep, that matters because we were able to get our message out there. We had good television ads. I hear left and right every day. Christine, actually, if you're listening, thanks again because I hear every day how good her ad was. I think there were a number of things that really helped us get across the finish line there.
One of the biggest issues in the race for governor, at least one of the things that was talked a lot on the trail, was the issue of Medicaid, specifically the privatization of its management. One of your biggest criticisms for the outgoing auditor was that she was sitting through a number of alarm bells. How will you investigate Medicaid, and what were some of the signs that you thought were unanswered or were overlooked?
You know, since the process of privatization began, there has been media coverage of the fact that it has not gone as well as it has gone in other states, or that it was not working particularly well. Obviously, we brought in, we kind of followed the Kansas model, which turned out to be a disaster for Kansas, including hiring the guy that ran it down there. I don't think that's anything personal about him necessarily, but I don't know. And that's the thing about investigations. When you're working on an investigation, you should be doing everything you can do that you think is going to dig up part of the truth. So a big piece of that is making sure that you're subpoenaing the right people and the right entities to get documentation and to get testimony about their work to make sure you're understanding exactly what is going on.
And have you been able to see any of this information as the incoming auditor?
Not yet.
There's an audit that has taken place or that has started to take place. But, I mean, at this point, do you know anything about
I do not at this point know anything. We've got a meeting set up for after Thanksgiving where I assume that I will get some level of briefing on that.
What are you expecting?
I don't know. I expect that it's a work in progress, I suppose. You know, it hasn't been issued. My point in the campaign was always that it should have been started earlier. It wasn't started until just June of the election year, when privatization had been going on for quite some time before that. And if we wanted to have people have an opportunity to have a look at it to help guide their thinking and making their decisions in the governor's race or in their legislative races, that it should have been started earlier to help increase the odds that it would have been issued prior to the election. That said, I don't know at what level it's been moved along. I don't know if it's partially done, mostly done. I haven't gotten any information about that.
And as an auditor, do you see your job as simply saying, this is what my investigation finds? Or do you also see it as finding recommendations for the administration?
It depends on the situation. I think most of the time you do want to make recommendations as a part of your audit. Iowa law says when you are issuing an audit, you should be making recommendations anytime you have any to make. So is that a possibility in with privatization? Sure. But I would really need to know what the facts are before I could say whether or not the evidence is clear enough to make recommendations one way or the other. I've been critical of the process because I think any Iowan that's reading the newspaper and listening to IPR can find plenty of examples of horror stories. But the question is, what's the story that we aren't being told? What's the story that we don't know about? And that's why getting an investigation done that's a real dig into the truth will help us figure out what we should be doing.
And just speaking a little more generally, how do you see your role? I mean, you're a Democrat and the governor is a Republican. We have a Republican legislature in the House and the mm-hmm. Senate. Do you see your job as a check on the Republicans in control of the state?
It's my job to provide for anyone of any party accountability, and to make sure that taxpayer dollars are being used in a way that promotes integrity and promotes truth. I don't care about what someone's party affiliation is, and I talked a lot about that on the campaign trail. The Iowa Film Office tax credit scandal happened under a Democratic administration, and I prosecuted every single one of those criminal cases just the same. There's a county elected official from Webster County – excuse me, not an elected official, a Democratic official that's a convicted felon because the embezzlement that she committed, I thought, merited a felony conviction. So even though they are someone who would have voted consistently for Democrats, they can't vote anymore. To me, we need to have more people in politics who are putting the public ahead of their party. And I think that's a real problem that we have today. And the only thing that I can do about that is control what I do as an elected official. And what I do as an elected official is always going to be focused on the truth and integrity and accountability, regardless of partisanship.
What has been lacking in this office, in your eyes, in the last couple rounds of people in this position as auditor?
This is a job where you certainly want to have on staff CPAs and accountants, but to have only CPAs and accountants on staff when you have more than just accounting to do is like a football team with 11 quarterbacks playing on offense at the same time. There is a approach to the work that they have done where I think there's missing a law enforcement perspective in the office. I would like to have someone obviously like myself that has some law enforcement experience as a prosecutor, making sure they're looking at every investigation on day one all the way through. I think that's important to have. And again, you know, the focus on the audit side of the office is fine, but the investigative division, I think, has been given short shrift over the years. That's a really important part of what this office does, really important part. If you want to know what's going on with people's money, if you want to know what our government is doing on behalf of taxpayers, you've got to have someone who's willing to investigate and who's frankly willing to upset people in the name of taxpayers. That's what I've been doing as a prosecutor for most of the last decade. Nobody likes getting indicted, but when I need to indict them, I do it anyways. It's not fun, but it's doing the right thing.
Republicans were critical of the fact you are not a certified public accountant or a CPA, as you were just mentioning. That was kind of their primary criticism in the attacks against you. There hasn't been a CPA in the job for many, many years. Are you expecting to be challenged maybe in court because of this, in like a lawsuit, or what are your expectations?
I don't think so. I think the legal answer to the issue is very clear. In fact, I had many Republican elected officials, including a former state party chair, criticize my opponent for making that claim at all. Anyone can do this job. We've had state auditors who have been, I will not be the first lawyer to hold the job. We have had a teacher. We've had a farmer. We've had businessmen. You know, it's something that really has more to do, I think, with who you are as a person and less to do with your professional background. And I think bringing some professional diversity to the office will be good for taxpayers.
Is there a loss in that you'd be, I mean, I'm oversimplifying here, but divvying up the work differently and with the same, you know, funding for this agency that had a more specific staff of accountants and auditors? I mean, do you lose something in widening the approach of the office, I guess is how I'm trying to say it?
No, I think there's only ground to be gained. That's it. And if you have someone who really is a stronger investigator, I think you will actually see a deterrent effect where if people know that the state auditor is willing to sniff around and dig up pretty much anything and bark at any waste of money, you're going to see people probably behaving in more responsible ways.
So how do you see this job? I mean, how do you see yourself in this job performing differently? I mean, how is this office going to change?
I think the biggest piece of it is just pushing more of the investigative side, making sure that audits are getting done. But at the same time, when there's reason to think that money is getting misused, it doesn't matter what level of government it's at or who's in control of it. You know, you dig around and you get to the bottom of it, which frankly, to people who are in government who are doing well, shouldn't be too much of a trouble, because then you get a report at the end about how you didn't do anything wrong, if that's the case.
You spent a lot of time on the campaign trail. What did you hear from people that may have had a concern that you didn't know about, or were there issues that surprised you when you were out and hearing from voters?
Most of the reactions I got when I was talking to people about the state auditor's office is, wow, I didn't know that the state auditor could do all those things. People are excited to have somebody that I think is excited to take the office in a new direction and make sure it's performing all of its statutory duties to a greater depth, rather than just having a stronger focus on the audit side of things.
Have you spoken with the current auditor, Mary Mosman?
We had our concession call on election night, and my staff has since reached out to hers to help coordinate a meeting where we have a chance to sit down. I don't know if it'll necessarily be me and her, but have a chance to sit down and start understanding where things are at in the office.
Are there things that you think she's been doing a good job of that you'll want to pick up where she left off?
I think that the auditing side of the office, other than wanting to make more efficiency recommendations, they've got a good staff of auditors in there. The people that I've worked with in that office have always been people that I've enjoyed working with. And so I don't anticipate a great deal of turnover staff-wise when I come in. I think there'll probably be some, but I think they've done a fine job of having good people in the office.
Some have also said, and you're going to get really used to this question, but that you're using this office as a stepping stone. Do you have political ambitions in your sight in the near future?
Look, I think that question comes up a lot because I'm 36 years old. Maybe I'll want to be state auditor for the rest of my career. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Maybe I'll get into holding elected office and realize that I don't want to do it long term. I know what I want to do writ large is try to have a positive impact. So to me, the fundamental question is, where can I be most useful in doing that? And that could be an elected office. It could be at this office. It could be in a different office. It could be outside of politics. I don't know.
So day one in the auditor's role, what do you see as the most important thing for you?
Getting an understanding of exactly where the Medicaid audit investigation has gone to, and getting a handle on what's left to do before I would consider that investigation complete, is a big piece of what I want to do first.
And as far as transparency and how you make this information available to the public, how do you handle that? And will that be done any differently than previous auditors?
There's a couple different things to take a look at to consider making it more transparent. I don't know if there's legal restrictions on that. Obviously, right now, every time they issue an audit or a special investigation, it's available on the website. Certainly, that will be continued. I think we can do a little bit more to push that to media. And beyond that, I'd have to look at whether there's any legal restrictions and making more of the materials from the investigation available publicly.
All right. Rob Sand, thank you.
Thanks, Clay.